Oil prices recede a bit. On news, a lot of countries are working on a plan to help Libya.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Now to the global perspective, what's happening in business and in economics. At the intersection of the U.S. and the rest of the world, the Arab League is developing a plan to help end the violence in Libya. And that idea from the regional body has calmed fears about an oil shortage. Oil prices are down a bit today, a couple of bucks, still above $100 a barrel, though. And now Britain and France are flying Egyptians and other workers back to their home countries. The move is underscoring Europe's worries about a refugee crisis there. Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports.
The British government has chartered three planes to airlift Egyptian migrant workers trapped on the Libyan border back to Cairo. The UK believes it can ferry up to 8,000 Egyptians back home within the next few days. The French are planning to fly a further 5,000 of these migrants home. The move is both humanitarian and self-interested. The Europeans fear a major influx of refugees from North Africa, across the Mediterranean and into Europe. They're especially worried at a time when many European economies are struggling. Philip White is with the Centre for European Reform.
A lot of the countries which are most exposed to migration from North Africa and the Middle East, in other words, the Mediterranean countries, are the countries which are in the most difficulty at the moment.
Spain, Portugal and Italy are all grappling with stagnant growth and high unemployment. The Italian foreign minister seems the most alarmed at the potential influx. He says we could be talking about hundreds of thousands of refugees. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
The Federal Reserve's latest regional survey of the American economy shows things are starting to rev up a bit. But inflation remains a concern, with costs on the rise for manufacturers and retailers, and increasingly for you and me, like with oil and gas prices going through the roof lately, as we've talked about. Richard Fisher is president of the Federal Reserve in Dallas. He's one of the few people in this country who has a real say into the Fed's all-important monetary policy, and he's with us now to talk about how the central bank fits into the economic equation. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. You weren't in favor of the Fed's bond buying program because you thought we were not in danger of a double dip recession. What about now with these oil prices? Does that change the calculation, do you think?
Well, that's a shock to the system. But at the same time, we are seeing pretty good growth. And we'll have to see whether this is a temporary phenomenon or a longer term phenomenon. But I don't think the risk of a double dip recession has raised its ugly head here. I think it has receded significantly.
So the Fed board's going to take up this bond buying program again this summer when the current program expires in June. How do you think that's going to play out?
I did not support the program. I do expect that program to run its course. I cannot personally foresee the circumstances, barring some external shock that I'm not aware of, where we could justify further monetary accommodation. I have said that I look at this as a bridge loan to the fiscal authorities to get their act together. Nobody could argue that there isn't sufficient liquidity, that is money, in the economy for corporations to put to work to hire the American people. What is missing is the incentive to do so, and that has to come from the fiscal and regulatory authorities, and that's the Congress.
Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke testified this week before Congress that the recovery is self-sustaining. Your thoughts on that?
Yes, I think it is sustaining right now because in the fourth quarter of last year, we saw domestic consumption pick up substantially. That's very, very important. The gears are meshing now. They may not be moving as fast as we would like, but I just read last night, Churchill was in the United States on the day of the crash, 1929,
yeah.
As he watched how we were digesting all that crisis. He noted in his little book that this was America at its most magnificent and its most tormented. I kind of feel that on the fiscal policy side, we're both at our most magnificent and at our most tormented. So it'll be interesting to watch how these elected officials work their way through this difficult issues.
Richard Fisher, president of the Dallas Federal Reserve. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you very much.
Let's do the numbers. Global stocks are higher right now. German shares an average of 0.5%. The Treasury Department said a sale of MetLife stock by AIG brought in more than $6 billion, meaning the insurance giant will be paying a chunk of that back to Uncle Sam after taxpayers bailed it out a couple of years ago. Wall Street yesterday, markets mustered some gains. The Dow was up 8 points to close at 12,066.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Ally Bank, offering sleeping money alerts to notify customers when their money could be doing more. Learn more at allybank.com. And by Microsoft, providing comprehensive business solutions for the cloud. You can learn more at microsoft.com/cloud.
The hit HBO show Entourage dealt with a newly minted movie star, his friends, and the pitfalls of Hollywood and fame. Well, the show's creator has a new project that's less Tinseltown and more downtown, as in Manhattan. Marketplace's Stacey Vanek Smith reports.
The show, called 40, deals with a 40-year-old New Yorker, played by Ed Burns, whose life is turned upside down when his company, Bear Stearns, collapses. Sound familiar? Maybe a little too familiar, says TV historian Tim Brooks.
Television has to be connected in some way with reality, but we want kind of the shiny version as opposed to doom and despair.
HBO's calling 40 a comedy, but Brooks says if the problems hit too close to home, people won't want to watch it. Porter Bibb with Media Tech Capital Partners disagrees.
Well, the feature documentary that took the Oscar this year was all about the financial crisis, and you can count the bestsellers. And I just think we're all caught up in it, and it's meaningful, and it's compelling.
Bibb says he also thinks this could attract the young audience HBO is after, because so many recent grads can't find work. In New York, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith for Marketplace.
And finally, all hail the great outdoors, especially in France, where people can now spend their time in comfort, yet see every bit of their surroundings. New globe-shaped transparent tents come pre-assembled. They're fetching upwards of $20,000 each, some with furniture and electricity. But I say be careful, France. You're creating another housing bubble. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles, on Twitter at Radio Chio, and online at marketplace.org, where you can share your thoughts with us. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
In Russia, doctors have found a way to stop people from drinking. It's called pain.
Of course, the doctor is not going to kill his patient, but the person will feel very bad, extremely bad.
I'm Kai Rizdal, the Russian torpedo, next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.